Grab your Bible there. Would you turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 12, New Testament. And if you're visiting with us, it's great to have you here. If you don't have your Bible, that tells me it's probably your first time here, because anybody that comes to New Life and calls Jesus Lord brings their Bible to church. Can I get an amen? And I preach a lot better if you respond like you're awake. Come on, this is a fourth service. You've already had your Frappuccino, your Cappuccino, your whatever Chino, and you're awake and ready to roll, ready to study the Bible. All right, so turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3 as you're turning there. I just want to make a really important announcement to you. Hurry, hurry. Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 3. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 is our text. You got it? Someone say, I got it. All right, now look this way. One of the hard things about pastoring is the transition of people, and my wife and I hate that. We know this, that a lot of people come and go, and they move. In fact, I was just looking front row right over here. We have a couple that's going to be moving to Colorado, right? And I think you're going to be going to my friend's church, and we hate the fact that people leave our church. And some people are in the military, and they're just amazing people, and they're here for a couple months or a year or two, and then they're gone. And then other people are like, we want to buy a house. Want to buy a house. Where are you moving to? Bakersfield. I'm like, why? And they're like, I want to buy a house. I'm like, I know, it's Bakersfield. But anyhow, they move, and people move to the Northwest. And we've had five or six families in the last 2 weeks tell us that they're moving, and that's always hard transition. And we know this, we don't have people forever. Some people are here for a couple weeks, some for 10 years. And so it's hard when people transition. It's even harder when it's somebody on your staff. And I just wanted to let you know that Pastor Kevin and Tammy will be transitioning at least off of the official staff of our church. Unless God moves them in the weeks or the months to come, they still plan on attending here. But check this out. They've been attending our church for 18 years. We started 20 years ago. They were kind of the original 100 people, and then just serving in so many different capacities. Then he came on staff as one of our children's ministry people. And then a little over eight years ago, they started helping out with the junior high, overseeing our junior high. We're junior high pastors. And we've had a couple conversations like at the end of like year five, you want to do it again? Yeah, let's do it again. Year six, you want to do it again? Because it's junior high, right? How many have ever worked junior high? 8 years is a long time, right? And the average stay in America for a youth pastor is 9 months, and they have served this house faithfully for the last 8 years, not just in that capacity as youth pastors, pastoral care, and so many other things, but they've just been sensing God transitioning them. And again, people in the church always want to know, like, what's the real story? That's the real story. And so they've just been an amazing, faithful couple. They got two great sons, Kyle and Caleb. And I just think it would be cool. In fact, you guys didn't do this in the last three. Would you guys just come up on the platform here? And if you would grab a microphone right there. We want you to stand up and just kind of say a couple things. And as they come up, would you just put your hands together and thank God for this amazing couple? You can come all the way up. It's holy up here. This is holy ground up here.
Well, we just had it's just been such a privilege and honor to partner with you in raising God's children in your households and loving them. And we've certainly carried them on our hearts for many years, and we'll continue to do so. And we love you guys, love this church. Thank you, Pastor Steve and Tammy, for all that you've done for us, allowing us to serve here. It's surreal. Our hearts are full.
Can you extend your hand this way? We want to pray for these guys. Father, thank you for this gift of Pastor Kevin and Tammy and their family, Kyle and Caleb. And we just ask blessing upon them. God, we thank you that the righteous man's steps are ordered of the Lord. And God, that you are directing their next steps. And not only are you directing their steps, but God, you're providing all of their need. And thank you, Lord God, that for just the many, 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 many years, we don't even know about the hours they've invested, the prayers that they've prayed. They have been an amazing, faithful couple and family. So we ask your blessing upon their lives, Lord, not only this day, but for many days and weeks and months and years to come. We just thank you, God, from the bottom of our hearts for this amazing couple and family. We just pray that they would hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speak to them. This is my beloved son and daughter in whom I'm well pleased. Bless them and cover them and provide for them, we pray, in the powerful name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. Come on, would you put your hands together and thank these guys? Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. Just a couple other things. I want to just really encourage all the men in our church to sign up for our Teleos event. Actually, about a month ago, it was supposed to be in LA, and the venue got changed from Citrus College to Azusa Pacific, and then another church said that they would do it, and then they bailed, and I got a phone call, and they said, hey, would you guys once again host the event? And I said, well, we'll do it. So we're hosting the Teleos event. The word Teleos is a Greek word. It just means mature. And we're not perfect, but we're going after maturity in Christ. And here's what I know about most, this is every, like, just men in general. You have a women's event at the church, it's like ladies are fighting each other to get a ticket, and they're registering the first day, and it's sold out. You have to beg, plead, urge, force, manipulate men to move. So I want to challenge all the godly men in our house to, after the service, you can sign up online or in the lobby. It's July 13th and 14th. Not just our church. Churches are coming from all over the United States. Some are flying from the East Coast. And it could be the last time we actually host the event. So I want to encourage you to come out July 13th and 14th. It's going to be a great time together in the presence of God. And how many have ever been before, men? And it's always a powerful time. So I want to encourage you to sign up. Sound good? All right, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. Shake the person next to you and say, it's time to wake up. Time to wake up. Are you ready to study the Bible together? All right, next week we're starting our series in the book of David, and I can't wait for that, but we're going to do a standalone message. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. I know you just got situated, you just sat down, and you just took your shoes off. Now it's time to go ahead and stand back up for the reading of the Word of God. Come on, man, I just put my stuff away. I know, but just out of honor for the Word of God, number one, we're just honoring the Word of God and the person of God, the presence of God, but also, I'm just guaranteed this. I'm guaranteed for 2 minutes that you'll be awake. Does that sound good? And I've been doing this for 28 years. I've been preaching here for 20 years, 8 years as a youth pastor. And I can tell when the crowd's just a little mellow, and this crowd is a little mellow. So it's time to wake up, because I preach better and faster if you respond. So we can be out of here in 5 or 10 minutes. We can be out of here in 2.5 hours. Somebody say amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Have a great day. Just kidding. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. I'm reading out of the NIV translation. The Bible says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race. How many know that the Christian life is a race? By the way, it's not a 100-meter race. It's a marathon. It's a long race. In fact, the Greek word for race is agon, where we get our English word agony. It's arduous. It's not easy. It's not convenient. It's very difficult. If you've been saved for a long time, can I get an amen, right? It's a difficult thing, and we're in this race, and it's long. And so we need to run the race with perseverance, the race marked out for us. And we're going to do that by fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer or author and perfecter or finisher of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that's here. We don't even need to invite you. We just acknowledge your presence. For your word says, where two or three people gather in your name, you are here. We have not come to play church. We've not come for a spiritual check mark. We have not come to be entertained by a man. We've come to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that the Word of God says in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for correction and doctrine, so the man or the woman of God might be complete or mature. We're going after maturity today. So speak to our hearts. God, I pray that all the distractions, physical, emotional, things we're concerned about, things that we're worried about this week, we would set all those things aside so we can hear the Holy Spirit speak. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And if you agree with that prayer, say amen. Amen. If you don't agree with that prayer, you say amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. How many love the Word of God? Man, I love the Word of God. I love that our church is fired up about the Bible. Notice I didn't read out of Cosmopolitan magazine or Sports Illustrated or Reader's Digest or some hunting or fishing magazine. We are fired up around here about the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Let me know that if it wasn't for the Word of God, I have no job. I have no profession. I have nothing to say. I'm not that smart or eloquent. But let me know that God has a Word. He wrote a book, 66 books. And in that book, book. It's fully inspired by the Holy Spirit. And whatever you're struggling with today, the Word of God comes to correct us and challenge us and adjust us. And the Bible says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Did you come to hear God's Word today?
Yes.
Title of my message is Don't Give Up. Turn to somebody and say, don't give up. Come on, turn. Do not give up. Turn to the person on the other side of you, the one that you didn't want to turn to initially. They were your second choice, and you were forced now to turn to them as well. Tell them also, don't give up. Don't give up. Come on, don't give up. You know what I've been telling the other services? I've been discovering this. It's really easy to start things. How many have a gym membership? Come on, $99. You can go down to World's Gym or 24 Hour Fitness. You can go to LA Fitness and for $99 or 20 bucks a month, you can sign up for a gym. I did that back in December. I signed up for World's Gym and I started out really strong in January and February and March, and I haven't been back since March. It's easy to start a gym membership. Come on, I'm preaching right now. It's another thing to wake up at 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning, hit the treadmill, hit the elliptical, and actually work out. It's easy to join a gym. It's harder to use the gym. I can't even tell you how many people I have had the privilege and honor to pray for at the end of the service to raise their hand to follow Jesus Christ. It would be in the thousands of people over the last 28 years. And I've discovered this. I'm getting older now. I'm getting smarter and wiser now. I'm discovering just because you raise your hand in a service, making a promise and a declaration to serve God, or even come forward in a church or go into a prayer room when Nick Vujicic gives an invitation, it's one thing to say yes to Jesus Christ. It's a whole other thing to follow Jesus Christ every day of your life. As I look down at Rick on the front row, who's been serving the Lord for many years, it's easy to say yes to the Lord. It's hard to finish for Jesus strong and to live a passionate life. I've performed probably 250 weddings. And it's easy to put on a white dress and show up at church in front of your friends and family. It's easy to put on a tuxedo and share your allegiance and make vows and exchange your rings to one another. That's the easy part. It's hard to get back after the honeymoon and to have a thriving marriage 10 years, 20 years, 50 years later. It's easy to get married, isn't it? It's harder to stay married and have a great marriage. It's easy to have kids. And can I be so bold to say it's fun to have kids? The process is very fun. It's hard to raise kids, especially when they get to like junior high age. Is that how old you are right there, junior high? Yeah. I'm talking to you, sweetheart. She's like, I'm never sitting on the second row again. It's easy to have kids. It's hard to raise kids, especially when they get in those attitudinal junior high and high school years, right? You know what I'm talking about? And it's easy to start serving God. It's a whole other thing to finish. I used to be really impressed by people, because even people that I graduated from Bible college with that started churches, I'm not impressed by people that start churches or businesses or start ministries or dreams. I'm really impressed by people that finish what they started. And the word to us in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 is not just starting something, but finishing and finishing strong. Here's what I know, because the Lord told me this week there would be people that would come to our services, and you've been considering giving up on fill in the blank, giving up on the prayers you've been praying, giving up on the person that you've been married to, giving up on the dreams that you had, giving up on the faith that you've had, giving up at the church that you attend, giving up on the God that you made a commitment to, or giving up on the life that God gave you. And I just join your faith this morning, and by faith, I declare we will not be a church that just starts well in our journey with Jesus Christ. We will be a congregation that's going to finish well. Listen, I understand this. None of us are perfect right here. I already know the answer to that question. But listen, by God's grace, we might fall and we might fumble, but we're going to get up on our feet. A righteous man falls 7 times, but he rises again. Come on. How many with your hand lifted say, you know what? I want to finish for God strong. I want to finish my marriage strong. I want to finish parenting my kids strong. Is that you? Well, it's going to require 3 things out of the text today. How will we finish strong is the question, and it's these 3 things you need to write down. Number one, if I'm going to finish strong, I'm staying fit. That's what the author says. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything. Everything. New King James says, let us lay aside every weight. Someone say weight. I played basketball at Westlake High School. I played varsity for a couple years, and I was going to go to play basketball at Moore Park College after I graduated high school, but I hurt my knee. I hyperextended my knee at the beach in the summertime, and so I couldn't play that first year, and I wasn't a Christian. Someone said he wasn't a Christian, and I was drinking a lot, and I worked at Round Table Pizza, and so not only was I drinking a lot, I was eating a lot of free pizza, and I went from about 5'9", 150 pounds in my senior year to about a year, year and a half later, I weighed about 185 pounds. My brother was the assistant coach at Moore Park College, so I didn't play my first year because of injury. They already went through all the summer workout programs. That practice already started in September. And about October, my brother said, hey, I'm out at practice every day. Not only do I think you can make the team, I think you would start. And he goes, you should just come out and watch. So I came out and watched on a Monday afternoon. And as I watched, I thought, I think I can make the team. And I think I will probably eventually start. So I made a decision that night. I'm gonna show up the next day at practice. But here's the problem. I hadn't played in about 18 months. And I went again from 5'9", 150 to 5'9 and a half, 185. Didn't play any basketball, wasn't working out, was just drinking a lot of alcohol and eating a lot of pizza. And I had great intentions that first practice. I was always like one of the fastest kids on the team. I could not keep up with them. And the reason why, I was carrying extra weight, 35 pounds, and it took me a couple weeks, and I had to make a decision. No more pizza, no more chips and salsa, no more In-N-Out, no more ice cream. I have to get fit. And the same thing is true spiritually. The author of the book of Hebrews says, I gotta lay aside everything that hinders. Let me break that down. When he says lay aside everything that hinders, it's not necessarily bad things. Okay? Because he's going to tell us in a sec, lay aside everything that hinders and the sin. But everything that hinders is not necessarily bad things. How many know money is not a bad thing? It really bothers me. Pastors get up and say, money is evil. No, the money is the root of all evil. But money in itself isn't bad. Success in itself isn't bad. Popularity in itself is not necessarily bad. There were rich people in the Bible. There were famous people in the Bible. But that's not necessarily bad. But anything can become bad when that thing starts owning us. Money's not bad, but if it starts owning me, it can become bad. My job is not bad. If that owns me, it can become bad. Nothing wrong with some television, some movies. It's okay. Again, it bothers me. Pastors get up. You shouldn't be watching TV. You shouldn't be going. No, there's some movies that are good. But if I'm not careful, movies, television, social media, they can start owning me. True? And by the way, for everybody on social media that try to find your identity in social media, how many likes you get? Like. Oh, I got 100 likes. Who cares? How many? We're not going after the likes of many. We're going after the love of one, and his name is Jesus Christ. But anything, my boat, my house, my car, if I'm not careful, that can own me. So the author says, lay aside everything that hinders. Now listen to this. About 5 years ago, my oldest daughter said, I think I want to start playing travel basketball. She had played, I think, her sophomore, junior year. She never wanted to play travel. And she goes, I think I want to play. So I said, well, let's play. And she got on a travel team in Newberry Park. And so I said, I'll drive you to practice. It must have been before she got her license. So we would drive from Oxnard to Newberry Park. And on the way there and on the way back, she introduced me to country music. How many like country music? Okay. And I've never been like a, you know, like the old style 60s and 70s, like, but some of the new, like, I never really heard it. So going to Newberry Park and back, all we would listen to is country. And after a couple of weeks or months, I'm like, I kind of like it. And so I started listening to country for 4 or 5 years. Now listen carefully. I'm not projecting anything on you. But about a year ago, I just heard the Lord say, you need to stop listening to country music, because from my office to my house and back, that's pretty much what I listen to. Again, please look at me, nothing wrong with country music. Don't walk out here and say, I can't listen to it either. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, here's what God's just said. Hey, instead of listening to country from the office to the house, why don't you listen to more worship music and more sermons? And again, I'm not saying that I'll never listen to a country song again, and it could be in another week or a month from now, I might start listening to some on the way. I'm just saying, that's what God told me, because I was listening too much of it, and it was just something that I had to lay aside. It wasn't a bad thing. It was just something I had to lay aside. So the author says, lay aside everything that might hold me back. So this is shocking. I've run a couple marathons. Oh, you were supposed to go, whoo, but you were late. So I'll give you another run. Ready? I've run a couple of marathons. I know. And it's crazy. So you get out there at LA Marathon. I think I did two or three times in the Chicago, and they have a countdown. There's like 20,000 people out there on the street, and it's like there's a minute left, and race, they're going to shoot the gun. 60 seconds, 54, and they get down to 10. And like literally everybody's taking, because when you get there at 8 in the morning, it's kind of cold. They're taking off sweatshirts, chucking them. They're just leaving clothes behind, backpacks behind, water bottles. They're getting rid of everything, because when you run the race, you want to run really light. You don't want to show up at 8 o'clock just having come from IHOP, Tutti Frutti, fresh and fruity breakfast, right? You want to be really light. The same thing is true spiritually. This is a marathon spiritually. We need to run light. Let us lay aside everything that hinders and the weight that so easily entangles us. So the first thing is not necessarily immoral or wrong necessarily. It's just slowing me down. So what are some of the things in your life that are just slowing you down? It goes on to say, and the sin. So there are some things not necessarily bad that I need to let go of, and there's some sinful things that I for sure need to let go of. So let me just ask you a question that probably nobody at your house or people at your work ask you. Are you a godly person? Are you a righteous person? Notice I didn't say, are you perfect? I already know the answer to that question. You're not. Neither am I. But are you godly? In other words, do you get into the Bible during the week, or is it just on Sunday morning when I'm teaching? Do you ever pray outside of, God, I need this job? Do you ever pray? Do you ever seek the face of God unless it's an emergency? How do you treat people when you're not here? Because like it blows me away how some people in our church treat ushers in our church and Sunday school teachers that are volunteers, and you yell at them and give them a piece of your mind. You do that here. I just imagine what you do at your house. So are you a godly person? Are you like, hallelujah, praise the Lord, I am who you... And then you go outside and you cuss somebody out when they cut you off. And you scream and give the waiter or the waitress a piece of your mind. How do you treat your kids? How do you treat your spouse? Oh, I know when I hit a nerve. You want to know how I hit a nerve? Because our church, I say something, they're like, hallelujah, but you don't hear anything. You know it was good. So are you godly? Are you godly? Not perfect, are you godly? Are you pursuing Jesus with all your heart? Notice I said, a righteous man falls 7 times. We're gonna fall, but when you get back up, you say, I gotta stop giving that attitude. I gotta change my, it's amazing to me how people just like cuss. Like, you're a Christian now. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. You're like, blankety blank, F this, F that. I'm just, what? Sleeping around with a bunch of different people, like, that doesn't bother you? How about this? No conviction of sin, possibly no conversion to Christ. If you're not convicted by your sin, it's possible that you are not converted to Christ. It doesn't matter if you like our church, you like me, like the songs, like the worship team. You were here Friday night at the Travis Green jumping up and down. Listen, if you're not convicted by your sin, it's possible you're not converted to Christ. We need to lay aside the weight and the sin. I better keep going because I'm getting some really ugly looks. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. So I said, I'm not impressed by people that start well with Jesus. I'm fired up about people that are passionate about Jesus every day and are finishing strong. Because Mark 13:13 says, he who endures to the end will be saved. That's awesome that you come to church. I'm telling you, if everybody that raised their hand at the end of a service when I've given an altar call or went into a prayer room was really serving the Lord, the Staples Center would be too small. And I'm not even joking. I've seen thousands of people make decisions for Christ, and most of them aren't here anymore. He who endures to the end will be saved. So what do you and I need to lay aside, and what is the weight that we need to dump to honor Jesus Christ? Look at this. And the end of verse 1, the race marked out for us. How many of you have a race and I have a race? And I said it earlier, this is the most difficult thing I've ever done, is to really pursue Jesus with all my heart, to be Christ-like. Has anybody found this to be very difficult? It's hard. This is easy. I'm gonna get cut off on the freeway. It's easy to cuss them out, flip them off, and just keep going. That's easy. It's hard to say, hey, God bless you, go in front of me, right? It's easy to get bitter at people and to hold on to resentment. It's hard to forgive people that have hurt you. We got three people. Come on. Let me say it again. It's easy to hold on to bitterness and resentment. It's hard to forgive people. You know what? Another thing is easy. It's easy to hold on 100% of my money. Because I made it. It's my money. It's hard to give not only 10%, my wife and I give more than that, but then to go out on the deck and give $100 to a kid to go to camp. It's easy to be selfish with my money. It's hard to be generous. It's easy to tear people down. It's hard to build them up and encourage them. It's easy to serve myself. It's a lot harder to serve other people because I think my whole life revolves around me. No, it's about other people. And so this is the hardest thing that I've ever done. It's the race marked out for us. How many of you have a race? I have a race. Sometimes I wish I was in your race. Sometimes you probably wish you were in my race. I'll just tell you this week, Monday night we were here. I'm not complaining. This is just my life. This is my race. We were here Monday night. We taught a class on Monday night. Tuesday night, we went to dinner with some friends. We met some missionaries in Spain. I think I'm going to be going to Spain again at the end of September, so we're talking about that trip. Wednesday night, we were here with our young adults and high school kids. Friday night, I was here most of the day Friday, and then Friday night, we left here about 11:30 on Friday night. Saturday, I did a funeral, and then I'm preaching four times today. It's just my race. I'm not complaining. It's just like, and I got decisions to make, and I got sermons to prepare for, and meetings to lead, and conflict to deal with, and a staff to oversee, and I'm not going to, it's just my race. It'd be a bad day, by the way, to tell me that pastors only work on Sundays. But there's some things that you do that I, like, that's hard, the race that you've given. I'm not jealous of your race. Don't be jealous of mine. We've got a race that God's given us. Let's just persevere in it. Let's endure in it. I'm not trying to live anybody else's race. You be successful in yours, I'll be successful in mine. And how we're gonna do that, number one, is by making a declaration, I'm gonna stay fit spiritually. Can I get an amen in the house? Amen. This side is way more, they're louder and more anointed over here. You guys are not quite awake over here. I'll give you another run at it. Say amen or something, just act like you're, Thank you, Keenan. Number two, if I'm gonna finish strong, I have to, here it is, I'm including friends. I'm including friends with me, not just any friends, but you say, where did you get that in the text? Let me just read verses 1-2 again. Grab your pen, and then every time you see the word us or we, underline it in your neighbor's Bible. They're gonna get really ticked off at you, but just go ahead and do it anyhow. I'm just kidding, underline it in your own Bible. Verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily ensnares, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on you. In other words, you get it? It's not just, we're not running in isolation. We're running in community. Amen. We're running in community. I got to tell you, I'm glad that you're here today, but if you really want to finish strong in Jesus, it's not going to be enough for you or I to just come to church on Sunday morning. You got to start serving in a ministry. You got to go to a small group. You got to, worst case, just get some people, say, hey, let's meet every Tuesday morning at Starbucks. Let's read the Bible together. And let's ask one another some hard questions. Let me ask you, who, spiritually speaking, is cheering you on? Who's lifting you up? Who's praying for you? Who's asking you hard questions? Who's talking to you about your concerns and your fears? Who's keeping you in your place? You have to have friends in this race. We're in this together. And I'll tell you, you start going to a small group and you start meeting people, you start serving in a ministry. In fact, we have somebody in the booth right now, actually two people, that just started helping in the booth. And now they're married. You go to New Life, you get a wife, guys, come on. And now they're married and serving. So who are the people? Because if you're trying to do your race alone, it's gonna be very, very difficult to persevere. You're going to want to quit and give up. You need some other people to say, hey, would you hold my hands up? Isn't it true? Physically, how many of you would just say, I work out way harder when I go to the gym or go on a run with someone. I work out way harder than when I go by myself. Come on. The rest of you are lying. Actually, the rest of you don't work out. That's why you didn't lift your hands. Because I go run by myself. I'm just like, I get tired. I'm like, forget it, man. And then I get around the corner and I see somebody from the church and I fake it. I'm like, oh, yeah. Right? You can kind of shuck and jive. You go to the gym and you're doing weights by yourself, you're not gonna probably put out the same effort. When you got somebody behind the bar saying, come on, a little bit more, one more, they're pushing you and encouraging you. Don't quit, you can do it. And we need that spiritually. I'm bringing some friends along. And very important, you gotta have the right friends. You don't want friends saying, hey, let's go to the bar on Friday night. No, you don't want those friends. You don't want friends telling you, hey, let's go find some girls. You don't want those friends. You want friends that are going to encourage you and spur you on in your relationship with Christ. Not just any friends, godly friends. Look at this, Proverbs 13:20. Walk with the wise and you become wise. Associate with fools, you're going to get in trouble. We used to always quote this verse to our kids. 1 Corinthians 15:33, bad company corrupts good character. So check this out. You have to be very careful who you hang out with. If they're talking you out of going to church, if they're talking you out of reading your Bible, if they're talking you out of spiritual things, you need to dump those friends. Because bad company corrupts good habits, good character. So I got saved at the age of 19. I was working at Round Table Pizza. I already told you, drinking a lot of alcohol, doing some crazy stuff. And then I got radically saved and I had to say hasta luego to most of my friends, if not all my friends. Because they were still going to the club, they were still sleeping around, they were still partying. I was still nice to them. I still loved them, I still talked to them, I still honored them, but I couldn't hang with them. You say, well, what did you do? I'll tell you what I did. Most Friday and Saturday nights, I was at my house reading the Bible by myself, watching a little TBN. Because I'd rather be alone than to have a bunch of people that are tearing me down. You have to choose the right friends or you're not going to finish strong. Number three, ready for the third thing? Can you handle the third point? Number three is this. I'm remaining focused. I'm remaining focused. Verse 2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. If you're going to finish strong, you have to make sure you're looking in the right direction. The focus is Jesus. So I told you I got saved at 19. Do you know, I told you last week, here's where I was headed. I was headed to the NBA. Yeah. I was going to the NBA at age 19. I was gonna make millions and millions of dollars, buy a big, huge house, swimming pool, jacuzzi. I was gonna marry like a hot Baywatch babe. Maybe even two or three of them. And kind of that was my pursuit. And check it out, at the age of 19, October, God got a hold of my life, and God, here it is, God saved me. I wasn't looking for him. I was like, hey, I'm gonna go on this journey to find God. By the way, that's theologically inaccurate. You don't find God. People say, oh, I found God. No, he wasn't hiding. Oh yeah, he was behind that cloud, and I found him. He was right, no, he found you. So I was going after success and popularity and money and a big house and a car, and God intersected my life and he gave me saving faith. So here's what I'm trying to say. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. So check it out. He's the one that got me into this Christian race. He authored it in my life. He authored it in your life. So he's the author and the perfecter. He's the Alpha, Revelation 1, and the Omega. Alpha and Omega is the first and last letter of the alphabet. God is the first A and the Z and the L-M-N-O-P, everything in between. So when I got saved at the age of 19, that's when my faith started. I don't know, by God's grace, if I have another 10 years or 20 years, let's just say I died at 83. He started my faith at 19. I die at 83. Check it out. Everything that happened in my life between 19 and 83, he is the author and the perfecter of my faith. Do you understand that? The highs and the lows. He orchestrated and ordained and allowed it all. So I think in the last couple services, I said it incorrectly, but it was almost 3 years ago now. I went on vacation. It was an unexpected vacation to Cottage Hospital in Santa Barbara. I just finished with a funeral and I went out to get some food and it felt like somebody had a baseball bat and hit me in the back of the head as hard. It almost crumbled to my feet. I went to my office and a doctor in our church showed up and he put me on an IV and I had a brain hemorrhage and I almost died. Why would God allow that? Let me back up. How many believe God could have prevented that if he wanted to? Come on, raise your hand, right? It wasn't like he's like, hey, Steve, I'm so sorry. We were really busy in heaven. The Holy Spirit was over at the summit in North Korea. And we sent Jesus over to the Middle East because there was some crisis going on. We were totally tapped out in heaven. And so we dropped the ball on the brain hemorrhage thing. So no, he could have stopped that in a second. Why did he allow that? He's the author and the finisher of my faith. So all the highs and the lows in my life. God orchestrated, he ordains it, he allows it to happen because he's trying to perfect my faith. How does my faith get perfected? How is my character built? It's not in the prosperous times, it's in the adverse times. So I want to say this to anybody that's been serving the Lord less than a year. You have to understand this, that you are going to go through some challenges in your life. You say, like, what kind? You name it. Financial, physical, relational. Don't think for a second now that you signed up to follow Jesus, your problems go away. No, I would say just the exact opposite. Now you have a bullseye on your back and the enemy's like, hey, are you really going after God? I'll show you that you're not gonna go after him. And so there's gonna be trials and obstacles and challenges, and God's gonna use the good, the bad, and the ugly to perfect your character. So is the author and the finisher. Why does God allow those things? Because the Bible says, whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. So if you're over 40, you understand whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. Because when you, like when I was a kid, anybody can beat you for any reason. Mom, dad, teacher, coach, random dude at Vons would just jack you up, right? Now you can't even, like, parents can't even discipline their kids anymore. No, if you love your kids, you're gonna discipline them, right? Now all the kids under 30, you never knew anything about discipline. You just were told to sit on a mat for 2.5 minutes. And that's why you act the way you do. Just kidding. And now the Lord, so the Lord allows some things in my life because he's wanting to discipline me, because he wants to keep me humble, and he wants me to have the character of Jesus Christ. So he allows all these difficult things to keep me dependent upon him. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Look at this verse. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 7, so to keep me from being proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh. Let me just stop there. We went to Bible college. Pastor Andrew and Chrissy were there. I remember sitting in a class and they're like, what was the thorn in the flesh? We would debate that. What was the, he had bad eyesight, Paul, because he did have bad eyes at the end of his life. So maybe the thorn in the flesh says he had bad eyesight. Others, no. It was relational conflict going on. Somebody else, no, it was some physical ailment. Who cares? That's not the important thing. Notice, Paul was given a thorn in the flesh. Do you have a place for this in your theology? A messenger of Satan from God. God sent a messenger of Satan. Why? Here's the reason. Who cares what it was? The reason was to do what? To keep me from becoming proud. Notice, it doesn't say Paul was proud, therefore God sent a messenger. No, to prevent him from being proud, he was given a messenger. Why? He wants us to stay low and humble and dependent upon him. Somebody asked me, Training for Life, the other night, Monday night, we had a little Q&A, and lady said, how have you and your wife been able to stay humble? Because you started the church 20 years ago with 40 people. Now there's only about 4,000 people in 4 services. How have you stayed humble? Very easy. I tell myself all the time, I am absolutely nothing. Now, if you think I'm any different than you, you're so mistaken. If you came to my house over the weekend, you're like, dude, he is so ordinary. Totally. Like my wife and I, we get in disagreements once in a while. My kids are awesome, but once in a while, they'll give a little attitude. My house is just like your house. I'm nobody, I'm nothing. It's not about me. Do you realize that our church, we don't have like big chairs here, red velvet, and I sit up here, and people just like feed me grapes all service long, and you losers down there, get your act together. No. I'm just like, I'm totally nothing. I never wanted to do this in the first place. I'm blown away that God even uses me. I'm serious. I meet people after the service and you're like, okay, there's Pastor Steve. I've been dying for you to meet him for so long. And then I'm like, hi, I'm Steve. And they're like, they don't say it, but in their mind, they're like, that's the guy you've been talking about? Yeah, I'm just like so ordinary. And I want it that way. And I get mad like you and people cut me off and I get ticked just like you. And it's not about me. I'm nothing. I just said this recently. If I got hit by a truck today, God would raise up somebody else. The church would just go fine. The beauty of the gospel is that God doesn't use people that have it all together. He uses ordinary nobodies to get his word out. How many believe Abraham was a great leader? Abraham was the father of nations. You want to know how many verses was given to him when he died? 1. That's it. Joshua 1. Moses died. Joshua took over. Abraham, same thing, he died. All the Bible says in, I think, Genesis 26 is that his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him. One verse for Abraham, one verse for Moses. How about Joshua? Same thing. He got one verse when he died. So David, man after God's own heart, right? We're going to study that next week. He must have had like hundreds of verses when he died. No, answer one. And David died, and who took over? Solomon. And he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. Have you read that recently? Here's the whole book of Ecclesiastes. Anything outside of Jesus, we're pursuing in vanity. We're going to live 60, 70 years by God's grace, maybe 80. They're going to paint us like a clown, bury us in the ground 6 feet under. That's pretty much, is that Ecclesiastes right there? Just like, and then the next person, that's it. And our life is like a vapor, and it's not about us, it's about Jesus. So I'm just going to, every time I get up here, I'm just going to keep pushing you toward Jesus, elevating the word of God, the spirit of God. We're going to sing about the name of God, because nobody up here is any more important than you are. It's all about Jesus, okay? And he's using difficult things to perfect our faith, but the Bible says, if you kept reading, who endured the cross, he's scorning the shame. But listen, he endured the cross. You're going to have to endure some things if you're going to finish strong. You are going to go through some things. But the beauty is you have the person of the Holy Spirit living inside of you that'll give you his joy and his peace. He is the author and perfecter. Man, I wish I was a professional baseball pitcher. Think about this. These guys are making like $1 billion. Most pitchers, like, it's very rare for a guy to pitch 9 innings, maybe 5 or 6, and he gets too tired. 100 pitches, the next guy, he comes in. They call him a middle reliever. He might pitch an inning or two. He'll give you like the 6th or the 7th. They might even bring somebody else in the 8th, and then a closer. Dude, I want to be a closer. You pitch 1 inning every 3 or 4 days, you make like $10 million. For 1 inning? So in a baseball game, you're all 4 or 5 guys pitch. Why? Because too many pitches, too many hits, too many runs given, too much wear and tear on the arm. But Jesus, he can start a game and finish the game. He doesn't need anybody else. He endured the cross. Check this out. I love this. Endured the cross, scorning its shame. This is my message for Teleos. Shame off you. We heard the phrase, shame on you. I'm going to preach shame off you, because the enemy brings shame on us. He endured the cross, scorning the shame. That's why I love our first Wednesday services, for a couple of reasons. We have more time on Wednesday night. Worship is a little longer. We have maybe some prophetic gifts. We have some time for prayer. My favorite part is at the end of the service, testimonies. So like, hey, if you got a testimony, 5 people, first 5 billion, people get up here. It's always really risky for us, because you don't know what people are going to say. They've said crazy things. And I'm sitting on the front row, and I'm like sweating and stuff. And we've heard like, yeah, me and my husband, and we were like into swinging and stuff. And we just like had multiple partners. And I'm just like in the front row going, are you kidding me? and then they're just like, and we had a lot of marriage problems. And he was sleeping with her, and she was sleeping with him. And then one of us got venereal disease. I'm like, you can't say that in church on Wednesday night. Cover the kids' ears right now in the name of Jesus. And then it just kind of comes around to, man, I had so much shame in my life and so much guilt in my life, but then God came into our marriage and he turned the whole thing around. And what they're saying was, what the enemy intended for evil, God turned it around for good. He endured the cross, scorning the shame. By the way, where else can you do that except at church? Imagine your Zumba class, you're like, hold on a second. Before we go any further, I want to talk to everybody. DMV, you're there like 3 hours. Hey, I just want to get everybody's attention. Me and my wife used to swing. Like, you don't do it. You can do it at the church of God though, right? And he endured the cross, scorning its shame. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. I got to keep my eyes focused on him. I can't focus on my problems. I can't even focus on other people. I got to focus on Jesus. My dad had a really good friend. He was a real magician when we were kids. He would do all these crazy tricks. And I'm like, how in the world did he do that? He did this one. He'd sit at a table with the glass and he put a napkin over it. And then we didn't know, because we're like 7 or 8. He would slide the glass under, but it still looked like the glass was there because the form of the napkin. He's at the count of 3, hit it. I'm like, where did that go? He slid. And he kept, I'm like, how did you do that? And he said this to me. I was like 7 or 8. He says, if I can, as a magician, if I can get you to look somewhere else and do the trick over here. I got you. And I looked right at him and I said, you're just like Satan. I didn't say that. But that's what the enemy wants to do, right? He wants us to get our eyes off of Jesus and on somewhere else. He endured the cross, scorning its shame. If I'm going to finish strong, if you're going to finish strong, number one, we have to stay fit. Lay aside the things, the weight, and the sin that so easily trips us up. Number two, we got to bring along godly friends that are going to encourage us and challenge us. And number three, I have to remain focused on the person of Jesus Christ. So you're going to go through some challenges, but God's going to grace you. My friend Andy's on our staff. They went away to San Francisco. I think I've shared this before, but we used to run all the time together. He was like a real runner. Ventura College runner of the year. I was a basketball player that hated running. I still hate running. If you like running, I possibly hate you too. So this would happen all the time. He's like, hey, let's go run. So we'd get out there all stretching. So I'm like, how far are we going to go? And he's like, oh, let's just kind of play it by ear. No, let's not play it by ear. Hey, Andy, how far are we running? He says, we'll see how we feel. I'm like, I can tell you now how I feel. I feel like I want to run around the couch one time, get some ice cream and watch SportsCenter. That's how I feel. I need to know how far are we going? He might say a mile or 3 miles. I can gear up for that, right? But I know. Wouldn't life be awesome if it was like that? Hey, you're having a struggle in your marriage, but next Monday, it's going to turn around. Then I could persevere. My kids are driving me crazy. I know. But when they go back to school, something's going to happen when they go back in September. Their attitudes are totally going to change. That would be awesome. Man, I haven't been able to work for many, many months. I put all these resumes. I know, but just hang on. Tuesday morning, you're going to get a phone call. I can persevere 2 days, right? I can persevere for as long as I know how far I'm going. Some of you have been single. You're like 35, and you're like, I got to know, when am I going to get married? Wouldn't it be awesome if right after the service you went out to the deck to buy a Krispy Kreme and you got in line next to this other guy and there was just like a big halo over his head. It was just like a sign. It's him. Hot now. You didn't get that Krispy Kreme. Anyhow, that wasn't in my notes. I just added that. Wouldn't it be awesome? It's like, I can hang on for another 6 months or a year if I knew. It's like the NASCAR, right? The checkered flag. One more. All the drivers know one more lap and it's over, right? It'd be cool if life was like that, but it's not like that. You just got to keep pressing and keep persevering. Keep going forward. Don't give up. And here's why. God's done too much for us. I got saved at 19. I'm 53. He died for me. He saved me. He redeemed me. He called me. I've been married 29 years. Next year will be 30. Hold on. Are you clapping for her? Yeah, you should. Yeah, she's amazing. My wife isn't perfect. She's pretty close, but she's not perfect. But I've invested too much in my marriage. She's invested too much in me to call it quits. My kids aren't perfect. They're like yours. But I love my kids. God saved me. He called me. He bled for me. He rescued me. He called me into ministry. He anointed me. He empowered me. He's given me an amazing church. I'm not turning my back now. He's done way too much for me. Not turning my back on the church, not turning back on my calling, not turning back on my faith. There's nothing that's going to prevent me from keeping my eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. And I'm telling you, by faith, I speak a spirit of endurance over your life. Do not quit. If you will not quit, you're going to reap a harvest. You're going to reap a harvest. Can we stand on our feet and just thank God for his goodness? I want to pray for us, and then we're going to sing a song, and then we'll be dismissed. Would you grab somebody's hand, and let's go ahead and bridge the aisles all the way across. Red Rover sends you right over. Come on, all the way across. I want to pray for you. Would you agree with this prayer with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the name of, Lord, I just thank you for our fourth service right now. And I declare a spirit of endurance over this congregation. Some have come to church considering giving up on their marriage, giving up on their kids, giving up on their dreams. Some of us say, forget about new life, forget about Jesus, forget about my faith, I'm done. God, right now, I just declare endurance, supernatural perseverance over the people of this fourth service right now in Jesus' name. By faith, we're not giving up. By faith, we're not quitting. By faith, we will finish strong. And yes, a righteous man or woman falls 7 times, but we're not gonna stay down. We're gonna get back up and we're gonna pursue you with all of our heart. We love you, we honor you, we bless you. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And if you agree with that prayer, would you shout, amen.